All right, so we're focusing on the addictive personality, which doesn't really, I don't ask of you to own anything in particular, you don't have to tell me anything about what you've done. But what does tend to manifest is that if you have an addictive personality, and you could easily turn around and say 99.999% of the world does, and we're vastly encouraged to have one, it serves commerce fabulously. But if you come to the place where you've peaked on your addictive personality, or you want to understand it, or you want to master it, then I think that this is a good place to start, or this is a good place to continue a journey that you may have already started. And I like to kind of take it apart. And my experience of, I'm now kind of over 20 years clean and sober, and my experience of trying to live on a daily basis with my addictive personality has taken me down some very interesting routes and shown me some quite interesting experiences. And so I feel, based on personal experience, justified to teach this stuff. And so this is what I do. So far I have covered anger, fear, and depression in these classes, because if you do suffer with the addictive personality, they're very likely to be the issues that you'll face if you start putting stuff down. Now, the addictive personality is huge. We look outside of ourselves, and this is very much the point of the class today. We have a tendency to want something else. This is not enough. This is quite often unbearable. I become unbearable. I believe that something outside of myself, if I bring it in, will make me better. Now, in doesn't necessarily mean I have to ingest it, as in cocaine or drugs or alcohol. Well, cocaine is a drug, but do you know what I mean? Or food. It can also be that I need to bring a drama in. It can also mean that I need to bring a relationship in. It can also mean that I need to go out and find sex or behave really inappropriately. It can mean all kinds of things. But in essence, the addictive personality, there's five main killer addictions, and then there's rafts of stuff that run underneath it. So the five main killer addictions will be drugs, alcohol, food, sex, and gambling, and then everything else kind of sits in the next layer. And the issue with the addictive personality is you'll put one down and something else will come up. So we put down food, we pick up sex. Put down sex, pick up food. Put down cigarettes, get angry. Do you see what happens? You kind of flip-flop around. So the desire to leave, the desire to the impetus that says, I can't bear this, it's so hideous, I don't want to stay here, something needs to come in, or I need to go to something to change this sensation, is very interesting to tackle with a yogic practice. It's a fascinating thing to take on, because although in the West, the West is fixated on posture, I don't know if you're aware of this, but we seem to think that yoga is just physical posture, which it isn't. An aspect of yoga is physical posture, but most of us just think of yoga as posture. But actually, yoga is much bigger than that. Yoga incorporates the breath, the pranayama, which is something we're going to look at today. It incorporates, you know, your consciousness. It incorporates meditation, your relationship to the divine, your relationship with other people. It's a huge subject, but we've become only fixated on posture. But when you start to understand how yoga is your relationship with the divine, and the divine doesn't have to be anything that's recognizable and definable by religion. Does that make sense? You don't have to believe in Guru Ramdas, for instance, or any kind of specific god for this to work. You just need to recognize that perhaps there's a purpose, perhaps there's a reason, perhaps there's some part of you that you're running away from that if you made a relationship with, things would get softer. There wouldn't be the need to keep leaving, and therefore the relationship with the addictive personality changes. It becomes something that you understand, that you start to have a lot of compassion for, and that you start to be able to master. That's my plan, or my route, is to be able to master it. I'm never not going to have an addictive personality. You know, 22 espressos later, I got caffeine poisoning. I can't not... Hello. I can't not manifest a complete insanity when it comes to acting out. That's what I do. And you may be very young. I mean, clearly I'm quite old. You may be still experimenting. But if you have this in you, it's just going to keep going. It never goes away. I'm never not, none of us are ever not going to have this. So the art is, come and sit here and I'll move over. The art is to find out how to, grab a mat, darling. Where are the mats? It might be over there. The art is to find the different ways that work for you to master it. So today, I'm going to focus on the breath. And what's interesting about the breath is that the breath is a portal to now. I'm going to expand on that a little bit now, because we breathe without thought all the time. We wouldn't be here if we weren't breathing without thought. When we breathe without thought, we're using the automatic nervous system, and we're letting the mind have free rein. And one of the issues with the addictive personality is how much power the mind has. Do you agree? One of the things that we're at the mercy of, actually, is the mind. I mean, we might crave something and say it's our physical body craving it, but actually it's the mind that's telling us that we want it, yes? Mm-hmm. So when we're breathing without thought, our mind is free to go wherever it wants. And it normally goes either in pain and suffering from the past or fear of the future, yes? It tends to go in one of those two places. Would you agree? Most of what we suffer from is the remembrance of things past that hurt and the fear of what's coming and how we perceive it to be coming, the projections that we make, yes? Very, very few of us are right here, because we wouldn't be acting out the addictive personality if we were right here, because we suffer from our past, we fear our future, therefore this is impossible, this is intolerant, I can't be here. So a major part of recovery is learning about how to become present. This is one of the reasons why a lot of programs are spiritual in essence. But then that's a whole other conversation about how do you define spirituality. It's a very difficult thing to define. But the breath is easy to define. The breath is easy to understand. We all have to breathe. But the trick with using it in this context is to impose over the mind, to make the breath more important than the mind. Yes? So this is why today I'm going to do some pranayama. Because when you breathe consciously, and that doesn't necessarily, you can sit here and think, I'm going to take a long deep breath, there, I'm breathing consciously. It's not quite enough. When you take practices, take up practices that necessitate you sublimating the automatic nervous system and controlling the breath completely, you can't think. Now, you may not be aware of it, but your mind is in charge. Most of us allow our minds to be the king of who we are. It doesn't matter whether you're a female or a male. We give the mind so much power, it might as well be king. We believe it. We listen to it. We believe it. So a very clear example of that is, let's imagine that you think about something. That thought might be perhaps a negative thought. Let's imagine you think a negative thought. And then that thought becomes your reality, and that in that instant changes how you feel. All entirely based on a thought. Do you follow that? That happens? So your mood changes, your hormonal flow in your body changes, and you go from being perfectly fine to having a really fucking awful day. Just based on one thing that your mind thinks. So this is the power of the mind. It's incredible. And we're encouraged, you know, how we live in the Western world. Please give your mind free rein, because that's how commerce works, that's how society works. We all need to be off our heads and out of our bodies on Facebook and would you like a pastry with that, and please have another coffee, and really totally disconnected. So it's very interesting to take it on. Are you following me? Yeah. So when you can become conscious of the breath, you can't think. If you can't think, you can't suffer. Does that make sense? It's not actually vastly complicated. And so what you'd start with is very short bursts of peace. And the very short bursts of peace, the more you play with them, they become something very delicious. Yes? So I'm going to work today with very short bursts of peace. The art, of course, with the addictive personality, and how I've always taught, and you came to one of my workshops. I don't know if anyone else has been to one of my workshops, but I taught a day the other day, and the day was all about tools, because each of us, we are usually unusually bright, we are usually unusually manipulative, meaning that we have very clever minds. And we can manipulate ourselves forever. Have you noticed this? I mean, I decided to give up wheat for New Year. I'm quite strong, but how long did I last with two children? Not very long. I could persuade myself of anything. I can really persuade myself of anything. The mind is very, very potent. And the art with mastering the addictive personality is to accumulate a lot of different tools. So the breath, mastering the breath, is a tool. By splitting the breath up into different component parts, into different ways of using it, then you get more than one tool in that particular vein. So that's a bit like, let's imagine that the breath is a gun and you've got machine guns, submachine guns, pistols and air rifles. Do you know what I mean? So you've got lots of different things that you can use. The art, of course, is in actually remembering to use it. So I can sit here and teach you and show you things until I'm breathless and panting. But if you don't actually use them, that's your business. So today, we're going to do a class that focuses on the pranayama, various aspects of pranayama, and then some posture afterwards, okay? And I will explain to you as we start what pranayama is, and that will allow you to understand some of the breath without me needing to take time out to explain it, which I'm happy to do, but I'll explain it within the context of the breath. Because if you haven't done Kundalini Yoga before, you'll need to know at least one breath. Do you all know what the body locks are? Who doesn't know what the body locks are? You don't know what the body locks are. And you don't know. Have you done Kundalini Yoga before? I wasn't watching. Okay. All right. So Kundalini Yoga is an interesting discipline. It's different from other yogas because, and relative to pranayama, when you combine a posture with pranayama, you intensify both the posture and the pranayama by 10. So pranayama is a very powerful practice. Pranayama is a very interesting spiritual practice. It's slightly different to normal posture. Pranayama is almost a very intentional dialogue with the divine. That's certainly how I take it on, and that's certainly how I teach it. So when you engage in pranayama, prana is the energy of the divine in the air. So although we can be scientific and we can say it's oxygen that keeps us alive, combined with our heartbeat and our brain, yes, that allows us to function, those would be the three key aspects. Prana is the aspect of the divine in the air. So if you think about to inspire, means to be inspired is a very interesting word, but to inspire is to inhale, yes? To exhale is also to expire. And when you inspire, you take in the spirit. In spirito, that's what the word means, is to take in the spirit. So to take a conscious long deep breath is to inspire the divine, to inside you. To exhale, to expire is to die. In that moment, you release the divine. So the breath becomes quite an interesting thing where it's a relationship with the universe, it's a relationship with the divine. If you start to think about it like that, it's quite an exquisite practice. So to take it on properly, and because we're doing Kundalini Yoga, we are going to tune in. We always do Kundalini Yoga in a sacred space. We chant a mantra to open the space and we'll close the space. It's strong stuff. It's a very old discipline. So we start by bringing the hands into prayer pose, sit cross-legged if you can. I need you to take responsibility for any issues that you may physically have, and if you need me to adjust a posture, please do ask, yeah? Okay, so, long deep inhale. And exhale. Om Namo Gurudev Namo. It's not Om, it's O-N-G. Inhale again. Om Namo Gurudev Namo. Om Namo Gurudev Namo. Pull in the belly, tighten under the ribs, tighten the neck. This is all three of the body locks. Exhale. Notice that wave of energy moving back up. Okay. So, if we, please do ask questions. If I bring up or say something that you find a bit, or you want to add to, whatever, please feel free to do so. And you'll get, if you come again, you'll get used to the way I teach. if we say that pranayama is a relationship with the divine, if it really is kind of like talking with God, using our body to talk to the divine, and God, it doesn't have to be God, it can be anything you want, but it's about coming inside, it's about getting comfortable with our interior landscape. Because if we're acting out, if we're using something addictively, it can be multiple things, it can just be one thing. You may only be here because you can't stop eating sugar. And that's, you know, that's a big deal. What sugar does is a whole other class. To become comfortable inside is a really huge part of mastering the addictive personality. And it's not a simple thing, because we have so much history, we have so many thoughts and so many feelings and so much stuff that we want to run away from. Where pranayama becomes quite interesting is it induces in us an altered state very fast, which is something that we look for. And we can get into a conversation about whether one can become addicted to yoga, but my argument with that is I think that one is addicted to something when one is suffering from that thing. If you're suffering, then I think that's addiction. Because we can all think of people who drink really heavily and never seem to suffer, or people who do all kinds of stuff, and they're fine with it. But it's the suffering that's attached to the experience that defines it as addiction, as far as I'm concerned. And you may disagree, and that's fine, but I don't believe that unless you're really insane that you would suffer from your yogic practice. Ooh, and you might get a backache or pull a muscle, but you know, you're not going to kind of come to yoga and sob your way through it and wish you'd never come and still find yourself coming. I don't believe, I haven't seen that yet. And it's been a while. So the thing with pranayama is if it's a relationship with the divine or God or whatever it is you want to call, whatever you want to relate to beyond yourself, inside yourself, how you sit, that relationship is very important. So pranayama is always done very exquisitely. It's as if you're preparing to meet whatever you believe in as a higher power. So if you could sit very beautifully, sit very straight. Pranayama needs a very, very straight spine, and perhaps just kind of physically, mentally, emotionally, become aware of how you feel, because you will feel very different very quickly. Pranayama has the ability and the different aspects of the breath to very, very quickly change how you feel. So if you are perhaps, let's imagine, want to stop smoking, that could be an addiction, it's definitely an addiction. What makes you want to smoke is a desire to change how you feel, either because you're lacking the nicotine, or because you're angry, or because you are hungry, or lots of different reasons, but you want to change how you feel. Some of the breaths that we'll do today will instantly get rid of that desire. Every single one of these breaths in 3 minutes will make you feel completely different. And I'd like you to try to become conscious as we get to the end of each one of that change in yourself. So the best way to facilitate that, and it may be a new version of how you practice yoga, is to practice with your eyes closed and to trust that I'm not going to leave the room, that I'll be here throughout, and that unless you need to see me demonstrate a position, a posture, or a hand movement, you just keep your eyes closed. And the best way to stop your thoughts, really, is to be in your body, which is an extension of this concept of now. Because if you're really consciously feeling your physical body, and I don't mean sitting here sort of patting yourself, but you're inside the bones, the organs, the spine, the physical energy, what's going on, you can't think. So let's imagine that really what we're here to do is to stop the mind today. Okay? That's the purpose of certainly how we're going to begin this class, is to stop the mind, is to recognize and to understand, as far as we can in a very short period of time, the power of the breath over the mind. Because it's the breath is the portal to now. You use the breath to become completely present. And when you're totally present, sitting on the first floor of Alchemy in the 31st of January in 2012, at whatever time it is, right here, there is nothing else. Everything else falls away. And this instant becomes extraordinary and exquisite and really wild in a way that you may have never met or felt. And that's what this is about. It's about recognizing that when you can become here now, and I don't mean come back to the 31st of January, I mean whenever you are anywhere, that it's the most important thing is right now. Not right now, but right now, wherever now is. Does that make sense? Because it's such an abstraction, but that's the purpose of what we're doing. So sit straight. We're going to start. We'll start with. What should we start with? I think we'll just start with expanding the breath. I think that's the best thing to do. Expanding the lungs. So let's start there. So this is lessons learned with great ease. Gyan Mudra. Spine straight. And just long, slow inhale. Ideally, you'd count to 10 in your mind. So slowly count to 10. So inhale. See how difficult it is? 7, 8, 9, 10. And exhale. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. 10, and inhale, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, and exhale, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, and inhale, 5, 10. Exhale. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Exhale, whichever way around it is, sorry, I've lost track. Switch. 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 And exhale and relax and just sit for a moment. Pull your tongue back, press it to the roof of the mouth. Focus on your third eye. Now you've hugely elevated the oxygen levels in your body and you've started to secrete more serotonin. Serotonin is a hormone that makes you feel good. Okay, we're going to take that one step further now. And we're going to break the breath into four so that to be able to get a full lung of air, full lungs of air, you have to break the breath into four sharp bursts. This is very, very good breath for anger and irritation. And it expands your lung capacity. So you'll sound like this. Hold at the top, and then long, slow exhale through the nose. Okay? So, breaking the breath into four. Hold the breath at the top, but notice how fast you're going to feel this building up, the prana. What you feel building is the prana. consciously work now to expand your lung capacity. So those breaths get deeper, the lungs get fuller, and slow down the exhale. Keep your tongue pulled back, press to the roof of the mouth, keep your attention on your third eye. I want that your lungs are massive at the top of the breath, but once you've done these four breaths, your lung capacity is huge. That you're really alive. Last time, last inhale. And relax. Eyes closed, very still. Notice now what's going on. That's very specifically a meditation for patience, that breath. Now that breath is quite nice, it's kind of a peaceful breath. I'm going to show you a breath now that's a pranayama that gives you a phenomenal amount of energy. Keep it going. Really big lung at the end. Really big lungs. Exhaling through your nose. Inhaling through your mouth. Exhaling through your nose. Thank you. Keep going. Remember to break it into three. Last 20 seconds, keep going, keep putting the energy into it. Inhale. Hold the breath, squeeze the anus, the sexual organs, pull the belly. Tighten under the ribs, pull the neck lock. Before we go any further, I didn't check at the beginning. No, is just need to know that nobody's pregnant. No one's pregnant. Excellent. Okay. So, close your eyes and just see what that feels like. It's quite nice. If you needed to exert yourself, that is a breath that will give you the power to... If you need to run up a hill or you need to take something on that's physically demanding, that's the breath that will give you the strength to do that. So you're using the already expanded lung capacity to very fast build up a huge amount of prana. But notice how you're feeling now. There's a difference in the energy in the body and the ease with which the breath comes. And because that breath was through the mouth, it's very cooling to the liver. Okay, before we begin some physical posture, I will show you breath of fire as well, which is also a pranayama. So breath of fire is a breath that within 3 minutes will change all the chemistry of your blood. So it's a very good breath for the addictive personality. So if you feel, I mean, obviously sometimes not always appropriate to do it, but if you feel yourself craving, it's a breath that will always stop a craving. So again, Gyan Mudra. With this breath, you very, very specifically dominate the automatic nervous system. And you do that by... The breath doesn't come from here. Breath of fire looks like this. The inhale and the exhale are equal, but what you don't do is what you're doing right now. Because what you're not doing is you're not pulling the breath from here. It doesn't come... You're not pulling the breath in. How you're getting the momentum is by pushing the breath out. Where the breath starts from is the pushing out. So... What you're doing is you're forcing your diaphragm up to empty the lungs, and by releasing the diaphragm, you're dragging air back in. So it's not pulling air in, it's literally pushing air out. And the way you engage that concept is by imagining that you have something in your nose that you want to remove. Can you feel the difference? And each time you push the thing out of your nose, you then release that muscle spasm, and it fills the lungs up again, literally just by dragging the air in. So when you breathe from up here, you're pulling air in, but what you're doing with breath of fire is you're pushing air out. It's a reverse. Can you feel that? You don't have to think about the in, because you just release. But the thing with breath of fire is each breath has to be equal. So it's not a series of... until there's nothing left. Each one is a breath on its own. So, let's do breath of fire with the hands in prayer pose. Eyes closed, tongue pulled back, press to the roof of the mouth, and begin breath of fire. Eyes closed, and now if you lose the speed, particularly if you're new to it, slow it down. This is a good rhythm that we're going at. You have 1 minute left. Keep your head still. It's about your body. It's not about your head or your neck. It's just about your diaphragm pumping. And inhale. Hold the breath, keep the eyes closed, squeeze the root lock so the anus, the sexual organs in the belly, tighten under the ribs, pull the neck. Keeping the eyes closed, exhale, release the hands. Stay with the changes, feel it, feel it. When I found Kundalini yoga, it was kind of interesting. I already had quite a few years of sobriety under my belt, and it was life-changing what it brought to me. The tools it gave me and the kind of understanding it gave me of the nature was so interesting. It's very exquisite to be able to be in the physical body and to be okay with it. Speak to me. You okay?
Okay.
Huh?
Relaxed.
You're relaxed. Good. Hopefully, slightly.
Not cold.
Not cold.
Cold.
You're cold.
Mm.
Are you? Put that heater on there. Okay. Well, I'm going to warm you up now. Well, you're going to warm yourselves up, actually. Okay. So, one-pointedness of mind is what this yoga set is called. And interestingly, you've warmed up your breath and your physical body, and the first posture should take care of the rest. So if we get to the end of the first posture, and you feel that you need more warm-ups, then you tell me, okay? I'm just going to put on something else. My iPad's not there. Okay, so Sufi grind is rotating the pelvis, basically. Rotating the spine around the pelvis. Let me see this in here. Okay. So inhaling forward, exhaling back. Inhaling forward, exhaling back. Powerfully moving the spine. Make it a warm-up. Massaging the liver, you're releasing the spinal fluid, you're Serotonin and a lot of dopamine. You could do that posture forever, actually. When you get to the end of it, you feel like you could just not move. It's a very, very lovely posture. It releases a huge amount of tension in the body, but what it also does is it grounds your history, lets you let go of your history. So any set that starts with that posture, it really is about letting go of the history. And mostly what we suffer with, as I said earlier, is our pain and our suffering from the past and our fear of the future. Okay, so how is your breath of fire practice? Can you see it can build up? It's about your nervous system. Very interestingly, the breath of fire is really about building the nervous system. And if you find it difficult to keep the rhythm going, it's just a measure of how you're building your nervous system. And the trick is when you lose the rhythm is to slow it down. The reason I'm telling you this is because the next posture is breath of fire. So, arms straight out. Thumbs like this. Can you see my face? My hands, my knuckles are flat like a monkey, and my thumbs are up. It's not up here now, it's just straight out. Eyes closed. Attention on your third eye. Tongue pulled back, pressed to the roof of the mouth. Miracle. hands up. I need you to stay up. Last minute. I can and I am. Ignore the head. The head is horrible. You are. Head straight. Keeping the eyes closed, exhale and release the posture. Keep your eyes closed because what's going on now is just delicious. Well done. Well done. Particularly those of you who haven't chosen to be tortured like this before. Show me a breath of fire.
I tend to do this.
Yeah, that's partly because you're pulling the air in, you're not forcing it out. Yeah, if you start from the beginning, you're... Look at my stomach. Imagine you've got something in your nose and you've got to use your stomach muscles to force it out. Yes, that's better. Can you feel a difference?
Yeah, I feel a tension in the stomach.
Exactly. It's a very different way of doing breath of fire. If you're dragging the air in, it's exhausting. Because you... I mean, yeah, it would make my legs go as well. But if you're forcing it out and you're coming from down here, then... You constantly think about forcing air out of your nose. Don't think about pulling air in, you think about forcing air out. Yeah, that's better. Yeah? Okay. Any other questions with anything? Are you all
got magical
about this? It's nice, isn't it? Good. Well, you did well. But you're very strong. I mean, you came the other day convinced that you're not, and you're very, very strong. You're kind of scary.
Was my breath of fire okay?
Yeah, you're good. No, you're good. You're good, and it's been really interesting to think, you know, to watch you come believing you can't do anything, and you do that, you do everything.
I just lack confidence. I've still felt as I'm doing you wrong, but no, you're not. Too much in the moment.
No, you're doing really well. You're all doing really well. Right, flexing with the breath is the next one. So your legs are straight. The hands are kind of drawn here. Inhale, exhale. Strong posture, let me tell you what's going on here, because you're going to be affecting the thymus, which is the thyroid, which is a gland in the neck, which regulates sleep, weight control, metabolism. The thymus, which is a gland in the chest above the heart. You're breathing through your nose. You're going to be stimulating the spinal cord and the spinal fluid. You're going to be stimulating the kidneys and the liver on the exhale. You're profoundly affecting the water balance in the body, the emotions and the insecurity. The second chakra. Even though it feels like you're very much moving all the body, what you're really focusing on is the second chakra, which is really to do with how we believe ourselves to be perceived, which is very much about the roots of addiction, interestingly. The low self-esteem. You may notice with the addictive personality that one has a huge ego but massive low self-esteem, which is a fabulous oxymoron to live with. It's such fun. Okay, so I'll find you something fantastically rhythmical. Let me see. Okay, ready, steady, go. Okay, find a rhythm. Inhale forward. You can also do the double. Get yourself absolutely flying. Eyes closed. Legs straight. Open your mind. You're stretching the nervous system. after a posture is the most fabulously potent time, when the posture does its work in your body is once it's finished, in this moment where you're allowing yourself to really feel it. The way to make the most of it is to feel your body. Feel, what does that feel like? What's happening? What's going on in my body? Don't immediately go shopping or go wandering off on some fabulous romantic memory. If you can stay in your physical body, then you're really potentizing your practice, because you're imbuing it with intention, which is why I always talk before I teach, so that you are focused on your practice. Your practice becomes alive. Inhale. And exhale. Now, you may not be aware of this fact, but yoga sets always have mountains in them. You get to these parts in the yoga set where it's very mountainous. So that may have seemed mountainous, but you ain't meant nothing yet, princesses. We have four postures to follow that are going to test your resolve. And I like to warn you in advance, because it sets you up to think, oh no. And then you get to the other end and you think, actually, that's quite nice. Okay, so bring yourself heading towards vertical. Okay. Gently, gently bring yourself towards vertical. I don't know if you do any of you do anything other than yoga? You run or swim or do anything like that? Because you may know about lactic acid in your muscles. Do you know about that? You're going to meet lactic acid in your muscles. Big now. Lactic acid is to do with your fitness level. It's to do with how fast your blood takes the glucose out of your... how fast your blood moves the glucose through your body. So I need you to be as rectangular as you possibly can, with not necessarily leaning forward as much as forcing your knees apart. You're going to stimulate the pelvis. You're going to, so keep your pelvis tipped forward. Yeah, long deep breathing. Eyes, you don't have to close your eyes necessarily. You're going to put your feet too wide. That's impossible. Bring your feet in a little bit. Yes. Okay, if you need to keep your eyes open, that's fine. If you can close your eyes, that's going to be considered miraculous. Low as you comfortably can. Rest on your beautiful princess. I don't know your name.
Monica.
Rest. Use your shoulders. Use your hands. Rest. Change so that you're actually literally, yes, so there's literally weight on your hands, a lot of weight, and you're lifting up your spine, up your pelvis. Yeah? It's like a version of chair pose. Long, deep breathing. Your thighs are very interesting. The muscles are thighs are the largest muscle group in your body, and only when you're 9 months pregnant is there a muscle that's bigger. Your thighs hold your femur, which is the longest bone in your body. It has the oldest cells of 18 years old in your body. Your femur contains your white blood cells, which drive your immune system. So this posture is very, very good for your immune system. If any of you have issues with HIV or Hep C, this is an incredible posture for that, because it stimulates the immune system. It stimulates the white blood cell production in the body. It allows you to flush out unwanted history from your femur, and it drives your will. Although the thymus in the chest is the seat of the will, the muscle legs drive you forward on your path. So this posture is very linked to achieving ambition and to change, transformation. Go a little bit lower. already closed. Inhale.
And very gently release the posture and stand, and then eyes closed.
Hideous experience with the legs isn't quite over yet. So, about a metre between your instep and your heel, so your heel lines up with your instep. Go down on your front leg. Do a minute and a half on each leg. And stand. Ladies, with your feet towards me. The next posture does seem to be largely the ability to do the next posture in its purest form. My hair's not in because unfortunately I can't get the cable from under your mat. Okay, that's okay. In the purest form, if you've got strong core muscles, then you're on your elbows. Like that, okay? Up. But if you can't do that, then do it like that. Okay?
What was the first one?
The first one. That way of doing it.
Yeah.
Yeah, uncross your legs, sweetheart. And you push up like that.
Oh, okay. Like that.
Yeah, but feet together. Yeah. Okay? So you're going to do a minute and a half with breath of fire. And if you can't do it on your elbows, which is perfectly fine, you can have ambition, then you do it with your arms straight. Okay, are you clear? Ready, steady, go. Don't drop your head back too much. It's back plank. So you want to have your head in a perfect straight line from your spine. Eyes closed. This is kidneys, thymus, very much the thymus, the will and the immune system, and the core muscles of the body. It's a powerful posture, and you're halfway through. Stay with it. Try and be as straight as possible, so let your head be an extension of your spine. So don't have it up, let it be straight. So, Nicholas, sister, your head's too high. Okay, 20 seconds. Lock and exhale. Lie down. That's how you impress your yoga teacher, is instead of dying at the end of it. Those of you who are near the walls, we might want to move into the circle a little bit, because I think you will, just for the next posture, because you're making yourself into a fulcrum. So you need the strength, you need the distance rather than the strength, you need the length to be able to stretch your arms above your head. Inhale up. Exhale down. Now your arms don't have to come up any further, they just come as if you were gently folding yourself, but you don't fold yourself in half. So keep your arms back, don't bring them over your head, they stay back. Inhaling up, exhaling down. Smile. Don't bring your arms up too high. And cover you up. Close your eyes.
completely relaxed. Ah, I don't think it's like
then we who's all left alone. The weekender is on our own. It's such fun. Just the perfect day. You made me forget myself. I thought I was someone else, someone good.
Rotate your hands, rotate your feet. Rub your hands together and rub your feet together. Then bring your knees to your chest, put your arms out in a T shape, and inhale, and then exhale your head to the right, your knees to the left. And then inhale again, up, knees up, and then exhale the opposite side. So both head and knees go the opposite way. Bring your knees to your chest, give them a hug, and come sitting up for a short but powerful meditation. Hopefully that was relaxing. I'm sorry it's not very long, there's so much to do. So your mudra, a mudra is a hand posture, and a mudra is a potent part of stilling the mind. I'm not going to teach mudras today, but this is your mudra. So can you see how my thumbs are pulled back and my Jupiter finger, the first finger, the knuckles meet and the finger pulls back. Can you see that? Yeah. Yep. 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 Pull these, the top front two fingers fold. Can you show the princess next to you how the front two fingers fold over? You're not doing it either. Have you got your front knuckles bent? Show me like this. Yeah. That's right. Perfect. Yeah. Yep. Okay. Point this at your chest. Now the mantra is Om. So your chest is between your breasts, slightly higher up, not your navel, up, yeah. Om, O-N-G. And you're pointing out, forward, not up, out. Yeah, that's it, yeah. O-N-G, it's a mantra for generation, generating. So Om is for letting go and for everything falling away. Onga is for everything creating and generating. So what you're going to do is take a long, deep inhale, and then at your own speed, we don't all have to do it together. In fact, it's more beautiful if we don't. Oh. conscious of the vibrating energy in the chest, the stimulated thymus. And if you can remember how you felt when you started, when we initially made a scan of how we feel physically, emotionally, mentally, and feel that vibrancy, that energy, the vitality, the prana in the body, but also the stillness. You get this interesting mix of wildly stimulating energy and yet an allowing. The present moment is a space where we allow. It's very, very peaceful. Now is a very, very exquisite place, but it can initially be a kind of odd place to be because it's unfamiliar. We've spent so much time running away from it. But it's definitely a place worth playing with. We started by creating a sacred space. We need to close that sacred space. Bring your hands into prayer pose. May the long time sun shine upon you, all love surround you, and the pure light within guide your way on. We chant Sat Nam 3 times. Inhale. Inhale up. Well done. Thank you very much.